Harihi Om. Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai. Tejasvinavadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Duryodhana has gone to Bhishma. He's made his plea that, you know, you please kill our enemies, which happens to be the Pandavas. And, you know, he doesn't believe that he can't. You know, he's, for some reason, he's not doing this like that. So show your full prowess. And Bhishma said, I've been showing my full prowess. Just you don't accept it because it's not, you know, the results aren't favorable to you. So Duryodhana then, having said all this, and very nice and very emotional, then now he shows the other side. Duryodhana paused and breathed deeply. He looked into Bhishma's eyes. Or, if out of compassion for them, O Lord, or hatred for me, you do not wish to kill the Pandavas, then please step down and allow Karna to fight. That great hero, the very ornament of battle, has promised to kill Kunti's sons and all their allies. And so he's saying here, please step down and allow Karna to fight. But the reason Karna's not fighting is because of Karna's own determination, not because of Bhishma. It's not that Bhishma's stopping Karna. It's just Bhishma keeps telling Karna, don't be so proud. You underestimate the enemy. This is improper. You talk as if you're the greatest hero around, but there's so many others who are great warriors. And he became insulted. Oh, you always tell me, but you're the, yes, because you, Karna, are always the one that's so proud that doesn't properly understand others' position. And so then Karna then, well, I won't fight as long as you're on the battlefield. So it's a foolishness, you know, but it's, you know, but it is presented as if it's Bhishma is standing in the way. Bhishma felt the dagger of Duryodhana's words pierce his heart. The princess suggests that he was not trying his best, only compounded the pain he already felt that having to fight in the first place. It seemed Duryodhana had no intelligence. That would probably be an understatement. He had not seen how hard his warriors had been fighting. But he only sees what's the result. We win today, good job. We not winning today, all you guys are not trying very hard. You're being lazy. That's all. He doesn't have. He himself went in front of Arjuna and almost got killed, only because the sun set. Otherwise, good chance he would have been dead. Right? Because it's not that Drona and others weren't there. Despite that, he had to leave the battlefield. But he can't. That's why he says he's not intelligent. Intelligent means you can tell the difference between things and build a common. So you can't tell the difference that his position, Yudhishthira, is not the same. Yudhishthira is superior. And he can't put together events that I fought with Arjuna, now this would be personally the third time, defeated all three times. You know, and the Gandharvas defeated me, and Arjuna defeated the Gandharvas, so that technically makes them four. But he doesn't put that together like that. Had he not seen how hard his warriors had been fighting, what more did he think Karna could achieve? Bhishma remained silent for a moment to control his anger. Breathing heavily and clutching the hilt of his sword, he finally said in a cool voice, "Why, Duryodhana, are you stinging me with this insult? I always endeavor to the best of my ability to accomplish your good, even at the cost of my life. I say the Pandavas are invincible. It is not sufficient evidence that Arjuna gratified Agni by withholding the celestial host of Kandava." It means he held back all the demigods, headed by Indra, not just one group of Gandharvas, the whole celestial host he held back. But Duryodhana can't see that. He was defeated by a few Gandharvas, not a whole army, just the group happened to be passing by and they saw, oh, what are these idiots up to? And then they came in to chastise them. He can't see that. Here's the whole host of them. Or that he and his brother rescued you from the great Gandharvas. Where was the Suta's son at that time? Bhishma felt an increasing sense of frustration as he addressed Duryodhana. The prince only thought of himself. He killed nothing. He cared nothing for others. His whole point is, if all the warriors on that battlefield all die, but at the end he's victorious and it's only him left, he'll consider a worthwhile endeavor. He's that self-centered. Why could he not understand what was in his own best interest in this case? Surely he was blinded by envy and hatred for his cousins. Thus he embraced his own destruction. Even as it unfolded before his eyes, even as he can see it happening, he still can't see it because his envy is so great. Mixed with his frustration, Bhishma felt compassion. Surely a man on the brink of death loses his senses. O son of Gandhari, you cannot see the inevitable consequences of the enmity you have created with the Pandavas, standing as they are with the immortal and infallible Kesava on the field. There can only be one outcome. This is your doing. Why do you rant? The time you have long anticipated has arrived. Now match your malice with acts of valor. Display your long-vaunted prowess in battle and end this conflict. Right? So Bhishma throws it back at him. You know, you're saying that I'm not. What about you? You vaunted, Arjuna's only a 16th part of myself and this and that and all these different things and of Karna. So that means, you know, put together, Arjuna's only 1/32nd. So how easily he could defeat them. But then we see that then why isn't he doing? Why is it he's been defeated by Arjuna? You know, so he's talking too much. Servants entered the tent to inform Bhishma and the prince that their meal was ready. Duryodhana dismissed them with a wave of his hand. He had no appetite. Since the battle had begun, he had hardly eaten, refusing even the wine that he normally enjoyed so much. His mind thought only of the Pandavas and how they might be slain. Sitting at Bhishma's feet, he looked up at him imploringly. The son of Ganga became determined, then the Pandavas were as good as dead. Right, so he's only seeing that. He's not also, like what you said in Niti before, he only wants to see the Pandavas dead. He's not seeing that Bhishma has a relationship. They have a relationship, the Pandavas, with Duryodhana. Everybody else has a relationship with him. He just sees, I don't like them, therefore no one else can like them. Bhishma drew a deep breath. You should know, O monarch, that I will not at any time abandon you or the Kurus. Such is the duty of Kshatriyas, and indeed my own determination. For your sake, O king, I will make a mighty effort to bring about the Pandavas' death tomorrow. Breaking through the hostile ranks, I will personally confront them in the thick of battle. Any who come to protect them will be at once killed. With the exception of Shikhandi, I will spare none. Bhishma reached down by his side and lifted up his huge silver quiver, which was studded with precious stones. He extracted 5 shining arrows, gilded with gold and decked with gems. These arrows were fitted with long spiked heads and fletched with buzzard feathers. Bhishma spread out a silk cloth on the ground and carefully placed the 5 arrows upon it. As Duryodhana watched, he sat in meditation for a few minutes, muttering Vedic chants. Finally, he said, I have imbued these 5 arrows with the full force of my ascetic powers. Even Indra would not escape them. With them, I will kill the 5 Pandavas tomorrow. Right, so, and his ascetic powers is, remember, he's a Kshatriya, and he's taken a vow of Brahmacharya, and he's maintained that perfectly. So, you know, that austerity itself, you know, plus there's all his proper performance of duties, his proper performance of, you know, his Kshatriya, arrangements for the protection of the kingdom, you know, when they had no one to rule. Everything he's done and all the service that he's rendered, and even now in the battlefield, how he works so hard, that will give you so much merit. Now, the natural thing is on the material platform, that merit will come as future benefits, going to the heavenly planets, or wealth, or position, power, all these things. So he's saying, I'm taking all of that and putting it into these arrows that they may kill the Pandavas. Bhishma's voice was flat and cheerless. Tears came to his eyes as he continued, Sleep peacefully tonight, O king. In the morning I will come out and fight a terrible battle, the like of which has never been seen. The Pandavas will not escape. Only Krishna can save them, but he has vowed not to take up weapons. A smile touched the corner of Bhishma's mouth. Would Krishna find some way to save his beloved servants? That would be wonderful indeed, but failing that, the Pandavas would be finished. His empowered arrows would not fail. Duryodhana jumped to his feet, beaming and slapping his arms. Then he became thoughtful. Like Bhishma, he also wondered if Krishna might devise some means to thwart the plan. Looking down at the arrows lying before Bhishma, he said, "Let me keep these shafts tonight. I will guard them carefully and hand them over to you at the start of the battle." Bhishma nodded and Duryodhana took the arrows. He bowed before Bhishma and went to his own quarters, carefully placing the arrows by his bed. Now the Pandavas were surely doomed. Bhishma was famous everywhere as Devavrata, one of unbreakable vows. Nothing would stop him from fulfilling his promise. Duryodhana lay down happily to rest. He could not wait for the next day's battle. Yudhishthir sat in his tent surrounded by his brothers. After 8 days of fighting, it seemed his forces were gaining the upper hand. Although pleased, Yudhishthir was simultaneously saddened that so many men were being slaughtered. By the time the war ended, the earth would be full of widows. Yet what could be done? He had made every attempt to bring about peace. The stubborn Duryodhana and his blind father were so foolish that not even Krishna could change their minds. Yudhishthir looked at Krishna. The Yadava hero had assumed a pensive expression. As everyone settled into their seats around him, he began to speak. "We are becoming successful in this fight. Bhima and Arjuna, supported by all you men, are crushing the Kauravas. In my view, our enemies will resort to every desperate means to reverse the situation. Even now I sense that they are devising some dangerous scheme." Krishna looked at Arjuna, who sat apart from the others, his head bowed. He thought only of Irdavan. The Naga prince had fought out of love for his father. Arjuna remembered the day long ago when he had conceived Irdavan with Ulupi. She had raised the boy among the Nagas, but he had sometimes come to see Arjuna at Indraprastha. Tears fell from Arjuna's eyes as he recalled the days that he had spent with his son. Now that boy lay on a hero's bed, another victim of Duryodhana's greed. Arjuna sighed and looked through the tent, opening into the dark night. Krishna moved forward toward his friend and placed an arm around his shoulder. "O Partha, holding fast to the duty of a Kshatriya, dismiss this grief. Your son has surely reached everlasting regions of bliss. Shake off your sorrow and fix your mind on the fight." Arjuna wiped his eyes and turned towards Krishna. How fortunate he was that the Lord of all beings was personally present to help keep him fixed in virtue. The duty of a warrior was certainly not easy. Krishna smiled comfortably as he went on. "There is something you must do tonight, Arjuna. Do you recall the time when you saved Duryodhana from the Gandharvas? How he then promised to return the favor? I believe that time has now come. The Kaurava has in his possession 5 arrows meant for the death of you and your brothers. Oh, Arjuna, go to him in friendship and ask for the arrows." Arjuna remembered that day in the forest when he had released Duryodhana's brothers. The Kaurava had been consumed by shame, yet his Kshatriya honor had compelled him to admit he owed Arjuna a boon. Arjuna recalled how he had laughed and said he would claim it in the future. He had thought that day would never come, but it seemed that Krishna thought differently. Arjuna began to remove his armor. "O Janardana, I will always follow your determination. I will go at once to Duryodhana." Unarmed and alone, Arjuna mounted a white horse and strode and rode across to the Kaurava camp. By the Kshatriya's code of honor, he knew he faced no danger. Many times after the day's fighting, the soldiers of the two armies would meet together as friends. The Kaurava guards stood aside as they saw Arjuna arrive. He was quickly shown to Duryodhana's quarters, where he found the prince about to sleep. Duryodhana stood up in surprise as Arjuna was shown in. "Hail, O Partha," he said, pointing to a seat near his bed. "You are welcome. Tell me, why are you here? Have you come to ask for the kingdom without a fight? If so, I will give it to you at once." Right? So he's even saying, if you just ask for it, because then there's the pride that I gave them the kingdom. Not that he was not defeated. He gave out of his kindness. They came to him. They begged from him. He gave it. So that makes Duryodhana the superior. So in that way, he just wants to establish he's superior like that. Arjuna knew that Duryodhana was being facetious. The prince knew that Arjuna would never beg for anything, so he's just harassing him, right? If he were to take the kingdom now, it would only be at the end of the war, after his enemies were slain. But he obviously wanted something. Duryodhana looked at him curiously. Arjuna continued to stand. "O hero, I have come here remembering that you offered me a boon. Do you recall that promise?" Duryodhana shrank with shame as he thought back to that day. "Yes, of course, I remember it well. What would you ask of me?" Right? Because he was defeated, and so on that position he gave. Because it was, they were still his enemies, but he, you know, being Kshatriya, you have to try to return good with good, you know? It means that you have to try, you know, if it's within the duties, within honor and everything. "What would you ask of me? I believe you have here 5 arrows, or Bharata. I wish to have them." Duryodhana looked at him with shock, but without hesitation he reached down and picked up the arrows, placing them across his outstretched hands. He offered them to Arjuna, right? So outstretched hands just means you pick them up and like this, you hand them, you know, like that. Because it's a boon, you're giving, it's like that. So he's giving nicely, Arjuna will receive them like that nicely. It's not just you in the left hand, yeah, here, take it, you know. He won't do that. Placing them across his outstretched hands, he offered them to Arjuna. "Take them at once, Partha, but pray tell me how you knew about them." Taking the arrows and thanking Duryodhana, Arjuna told him that Krishna had informed him of their existence. He then took his leave and returned to Yudhishthira's tent, leaving Duryodhana seated on his bed, wringing his hands. Krishna again, right? So he's wondering, how did he know? Because it was private and this and that, or if, you know, if they had such good spy network or what. Maybe the eulogies of Bhishma and Vidura were true. There was surely something extraordinary about that Yadava. It seemed he knew everything. Duryodhana lay down and gazed up at the empty expanse of the tent's large roof. Was there any hope of victory? Perhaps. The arrows may be gone, but Bhishma had still decided to kill the Pandavas, right? So that means that aspect of the arrow means now it is just back again down to a skill and like that. It doesn't have that all he put all those austerities into those arrows. That would have an extra thing because he's also very virtuous like that. Yes, and so next we'll see how Krishna protects the divines. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.